You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Discover the life-changing benefits of Meow Greens for your cat. Ever see your cat slowing down or having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Meow Greens to your cat's food for 90 days, and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, I'm naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Meow Greens, and I invite you to take the Meow Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your cat will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, they're going to have better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch a free Jumpstart trial bag for your cat today. Go to TryMeowGreens.com. Use promo code TRYMEOW. That's try M-E-O-W. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your cat's food to improve your cat's health. Just add a packet of Meow Greens.
You're listening to Between Pages and Friends, a book club podcast hosted by Con and Lauren, two besties who read a lot of books, and John and Kyle, their supportive husbands who've agreed to read along with them. I'm Kyle.
I'm John.
I'm Con.
And I'm Lauren. Welcome to episode 4 of our Throne of Glass book club. Read along with us as myself and Kyle experience this series for the very first time, guided in discussion by Con and John, who are rereading this series with us.
In this episode, we are discussing book 2 of the Throne of Glass series, titled Crown of Midnight, chapters 1 through 18. This is a book club style podcast, meaning there will be no spoilers for future chapters or books. So if you've only read book 1, Throne of Glass, and chapters 1 through 18 of Crown of Midnight, this is a safe space to process while we discuss.
Yes, so if you don't know why the Crown Prince of Adarlin is shivering right now, go read through chapter 18 and come back. Nice. Additionally, this is your mild content warning, as we will be discussing themes from this book that include a Carrie situation and a couple of young fools in love and denial.
This episode will include a brief name pronunciation guide with Con, a chapter recap with John, initial reactions and favorite moments, followed by mine and Lauren's thoughts and theories on this chapter section and where this book is headed.
Yay, but before we get started, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening, and follow us on Instagram and TikTok. If you're wanting bonus content, early access to episodes, an incredible community of book lovers, live events, merch discounts, and way, way, way more, check out our Patreon. And while you're checking out all these lovely things, make sure you check out our website, betweenpagesandfriends.com, for all of our merch. We are constantly adding new items, so keep an eye out for those updates.
Speaking of merch, we love seeing the messages that you guys write to us on our website at checkout. Here's actually a recent one from Sophia, who ordered some stickers and a Team Cassian wine glass. She wrote, "I'm so excited to get these. Hope you continue to grow and keep enjoying what makes you happy," with some love heart faces, smiley faces. Sophia, thank you so much for supporting this dream and helping us grow. These messages truly are so encouraging to us and really do mean the world. So let's jump into the pronunciation guide.
We said this pronunciation guide would be brief. This is actually one of the longest ones we've had so far.
Not brief.
Not brief at all.
Not brief at all. New book, lots of new names. So let's get into it for Crown of Midnight, chapters 1 through 18. Shout out to Elizabeth Evans for her incredible audiobook narration, which is what we are basing these pronunciations off of, to the best of our ability. So right in chapter 1, we get our first new place, which is Bellhaven, which is where Selena was sent to kill Lord Nerall. Archer Finn, which is who Selena is being sent to kill now. Meaw, where Selena was sent on her first mission from the king to kill Sir Carlin. The Avery River, Wendlin, which is described as the faraway land across the sea. Lord Roland Havilliard of Meaw. Lady Balanchine, who was briefly mentioned while Selena was tracking Archer. Sam Cortland. Sam has been mentioned a few times, but I think this is the first time we see his last name. Rourke Farron, the crime lord who killed Sam and captured Selena. Wesley, who is Erebin Hommel's personal guard. He's the one who killed Rourke Farron. I also put a note that Wesley has an easy name and he's also dead.
I have a bunch of those notes later with anyone who died in these chapters.
There's so many.
If you have an easy name, you're gone.
That's how these are working so far. Then we hear about Lithian, who was Kale's ex who got caught in bed with Roland, which is part of the reason that Kale is not a fan.
Drama.
King Brannan, who was Elena's father and the first king of Terrasen. Lena, which is Archer's nickname for Selena. Minister Mullison, who is the councilman responsible for dealing with Calicola's labor camp. He was brought up a few times. Clarice was the madam of the brothel that Archer Finn works for. Aelin Galathinius is described as the lost heir of Terrasen. Lysandra was mentioned as a courtesan with whom Selena has a long, violent history. Davis, easy name, also dead.
I have that note there.
Gloriella is the mild poison that causes hours of paralysis. And then Rena Goldsmith was the singer who performed in the Great Hall. And the names that she mentioned in her last words were Kayleen, Liesa, John, and Estral. And then there was a few from book one that were mentioned again. These are Wordmarks, the Ritterack, Fleetfoot, which is Selena's puppy, Calicola, the labor camp. Eelway is where Nehemia is from. Elentia is the name that Nehemia gave to Selena. Damaris, the sword of the long dead King Gavin, Aniel, where Kael is from, and Holland, Dorian's brat brother. And then finally, the only word I will be intentionally pronouncing differently from the audiobooks is Wyvern.
How do they pronounce it?
In the audiobook, she says Wyvern, and it kind of drives me crazy.
Don't like
hard
that.
Stop.
Hard stop.
I don't like it. So she says Wyvern. I know that that's how she says it in the audiobook. I say Wyvern. I think all of us are probably going to say Wyvern if it comes up.
And she does that for all the books? Like, I'm assuming this word comes up again?
Yeah, it's already been mentioned a few times just in passing, like in the first two books. So I just had to make a note of it. But everything else is great. So there's the not brief pronunciation guide.
So just real quickly, with our four names, who of us would survive?
Well, John's already dead.
I'm out. I'm done. I'm dead in the first book, first paragraph.
Maybe Connor, because that's a boy name, but you're a girl.
I know, but the Connors in books always die.
Oh, that's true. Lauren's always like a side character no one cares about. She gets mentioned once and then she's gone. And Kyle's always like the sassy best friend.
Cal.
First of all, I only know that like in my own family, there is debate on if Kyle is one or two syllables. That's the only complication I've ever had with Kyle.
If you're from the north, it's Kyle. And if you're from the south, it's Kyle.
Kyle. Super fun. There was a girl named Kyle who messaged us the other day.
I saw that.
Yeah. And she said she was so excited that my name is Connor because her name is Kyle. And I was like, that's amazing. We got another Kyle.
You guys are best friends now. Yeah. Shout out to Kyle and all Kyles everywhere.
But she said her brother's name is Connor. Hi, Kyle, if you're listening.
Hi, Kyle. Hi, Connor.
Anyway, all right.
Where we landed on that.
Yeah, we're all dead.
Yep.
All right, let's keep it rolling with the big old chapter recap from John.
Yes, your favorite J-O-N here. Okay, folks, here we go with our first section of Crown of Midnight. We pick up with Selena in the middle of an assassination mission for the king. She returns with the guy's head, signet ring, and his wife's hand as proof of death. Her and Kale, quote unquote, debrief. Seems like there may be a relationship forming here. We'll see. We find out that she's actually been lying about the assassinations and that she's not actually killing them. Crazy. The next name that she receives from the king is a guy that she knows from her assassin days named Archer Finn. Selena tells Nehemia about her next mission. Kale's still having a tough time with killing Cain. He kind of confides in Selena about that. We meet Dorian's cousin Roland, who the king surprisingly just appointed on his council. There's a moment with Selena and Dorian where she's like a little cold toward him as she's trying to be responsible with their relationship. Selena is talking with Kale at one point while thinking about her next target, Archer, and it's bringing up some old memories, and she ends up asking Kale about a guy named Rourke Farron, apparently once a crime lord in Rifthold. We get some more details here about what possibly happened the night of her capture, as well as Sam's death. Farron apparently tortured and killed Sam. Yikes. Kale, seeing Selena clearly emotional, shares the story of a girl he thought he loved that ended up sleeping with Roland. Double yikes. Selena reveals that her and Sam loved each other, kind of a big deal. Selena visiting the library and comes across a mysterious hooded figure that gets scared off by the eye of Elena glowing brightly. Crazy. We meet Mort. I love this little guy. The incorrigible door knocker to Gavin and Elena's tomb, which there was a door. Mort has a message from Elena to Selena that there is more to be done, Anna. Plus, it seems that that one went well with the crowd. All right. Nice. Plus, it seems that Mort and Elena know much more about Selena's history. Selena takes Kale to, quote unquote, run into Archer in Rifthold. We find out that Archer is un hombre hermoso. Sí, muy, muy hermoso. Dorian gets a little testy towards Selena as she warns him about Roland. Selena visits Caltaine in the dungeons, tries to get some info out of her about the king or Parrington. Selena gives Caltaine her cloak. Holland the Munchkin Hevilliard is back from boarding school. Selena and Archer have their dinner date. She tells him that she was sent to kill him. He freaks out a little bit,
like a little sissy girl.
She gives him the same deal that she gives the others, fake his death and get out of Dodge, but she needs to get some deets from him first. Also, the first time that we hear about Aelin. Apparently, the group that Archer knows about is trying to find her and claims that she's alive and is trying to grow an army. Selena goes to a masquerade with Archer, gets into Davis's office and finds a book of word marks with a singular clue, quote unquote, "It is only with the eye that one can see rightly." Interesting. Davis comes in, they fight. She like slices her arm. She gets poisoned and she kills him in the scuffle. She barely makes it back to the castle and into Kale's like office, and he ends up saving her. Selena revisits the library and finds a similar secret door from her room, follows the stairs down to a lone hallway and one iron door. And we learn that iron like protects or shields against magic. She says the quote, "Is this to keep someone out or something in?"
Interesting.
At Holland's welcome home banquet, we have a singer, Rena Goldsmith, blessing us with her angelic voice. Her last song is one of legend that talks about magic. Her and her companion end up both getting beheaded for performing it by the king. Selena comes clean to Nehemia about the assassinations, tells her pretty much everything, and also shows her Elena's tomb. While they're down there and in the tomb, they find like a face on the wall. One of the eyes is hollowed out. There seems to be nothing on the other side. Could this be a clue? Another banquet that Selena stands guard for. Her and Kale dance outside. Dorian sees through a window, gets a little jelly belly, if you know what I mean. Nehemia comes up to Dorian and talks to him a little bit about it. She actually asks for his help about the Calicola slave camp, also tells him that he has power in him, but it sleeps, and that she will help him when the time comes. Ooh. Selena visits Archer again, gives him only 6 days to get the info that she needs. Meanwhile, in the council meeting about Calicola, Dorian speaks his opinion. He speaks up a little bit, shares that his vote is like a strong, like hell no, and storms out angrily. He punches a wall that like sends like a spider web crack outward. It like shatters a window. He says he punched it so hard it should have broken his hand, but it didn't. So that's crazy. And like with that, there's not much doubt that Dorian possibly wields some kind of power.
Well, and there's like also like a protection around
like
him.
Like a protection.
None of the dust or whatever.
Yeah. So like all the glass around him is in like a perfect circle.
So cool.
Crazy. Selena and Kale are hanging out in Kale's room. She realizes that she wants a life with him. Heads back to her room to find Dorian waiting. He seems to be a bit disturbed, possibly wanting to chat with Nehemia about what just happened with him. Kind of ends up awkwardly leaving and leaving us with some questions. And that's that.
Dang. I thought like, nice. Oh, it's just the beginning with 18 chapters. Like not anything crazy would happen, mm-hmm. but like so many crazy things happen.
Yes. Let's get right into it. Let's talk through highlights and favorite moments and all the things we wrote down.
Yeah. So like starting off, just like what I was saying, I felt like the last one, I was waiting for something epic to happen. And so I was really glad getting in just like chapter one. I didn't have to learn anyone's new name. Mm. There was, you know, some new characters, but then stuff could start right away. And I was excited about that just going into it. But.
Yeah. I like that too.
Yeah, totally.
And that it wasn't like a huge time jump either.
Yeah. So right when she gets back, she gives the head and hand to the king. And then she goes to throw it away in the sewer, I think. But like Kale goes with her. At first, I thought these were the ones in her secret passageway. And so I was like, whoa, she told Kale about her little secret passageway. And then they're immediately like, let's go back to my room. And like, they just go up the stairs to her room. But after reading the chapters, I don't think that's what happened, since it was like such a big reveal to show Nehemia later behind the tapestry or whatever. I'm assuming it was somewhere else that they throw things away. But that initially like, whoa, something big happened. But I don't think it did. What do you guys think?
I had the same thought process. Like at first I thought, oh, I guess at some point in the last 2 months, she like showed him the tunnels underneath or something. But yeah, I think it was just like a separate thing. I mean, this was like her fourth kill at this point. So I think she just had been going to a regular spot to dispose.
Her regular sewer spot.
Her regular body part disposal meetup.
A regular hangout with Kale.
That's what they call a date night.
Oh, romantic.
Yeah. I was kind of worried because this book led off with pretty much what was like an off-screen kill. And then it turned into like, yeah, but it turned into like a on-screen describing her being like, get out of here, guy, or I'll kill you. Like a little bit of mercy there, which made me doubt the legitimacy of all assassin claims. And I was like, well, who's to say other people didn't fake their deaths and tell everybody like, oh yeah, this lady's a good killer, but
5 stars.
5 stars would get killed again.
We do know that she has at least killed like 23 people or 24 people when she was in Andovier, which I mean, maybe a little bit different. But at that point, she had already gone through like 8 years of training or something under Arabin and the Assassin's
Keep. That's true. That'd be harder to fake. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that, like you said, it is a bit different. Yeah. I did also like Kale's gods above, you smell horrible. Like he and Dorian have the same flirting techniques with the you've gained weight or whatever. Like,
well, apparently it works. So
yeah, that's true.
I was cracking up in chapter, chapter 2? It's like the first mention of the black rings. And I was like, oh yeah, the mood rings, the friendship rings.
I got it that later too. I was like, because then is it Roland? Is that his name? And he gets a bestie friendship ring. He's in the bestie friendship.
Welcome to the club. They're all up late at night in the king's throne room, kicking feet and talking about like, who do you want to kill next? Oh my God.
Twirling their rings around.
They'll have black silk pajamas.
Right. Sipping hot cocoa together.
The giggle.
This is canon for me now. I'm obsessed with this.
We gotta go to sleep.
No, you hang up first.
Duke, you're so bad.
Duke. Oh, man. That's good.
Okay, and then I just love the banter, and I always highlight it. So I was cracking up when Kale was like, I'd like to debrief you. And Selena raises an eyebrow and says, aren't you at least going to take me to dinner first? I just love her.
I love them. They're so cute.
I know.
Okay, so chapter 3, I think it was in her dream, and I quoted, he whispered her name, ... her true name. And then I was like, what is her name? And also, why does she already have like 3 names already? And we're getting another one. I know. And then Archer gives her like a new nickname one. I mean, it's just like a shortening of her name. Yeah. We'll just add to the list. I have theories on this, but I'm going to save it for later about like what her name is and all the things. So there's that. Also, okay. So the last book, they were giving her a dog. Dorian gave her a dog for Yulemas, and they were joking about calling the name Goldie. And so in my head this whole time, I've been picturing this dog as my dog, Goldie, who is a Jack Russell Terrier. She's got to be 10 pounds or less. Real small, cute, got big ears. She's the best. And then instead they quote, Dorian had never said what breed exactly he suspected her mother to have mated with. Given Fleetfoot's size, it could have been a wolfhound or an actual wolf. And I was like, oh, I am really wrong about what this dog looks like. Because like earlier in the chapter too, she was like cuddling with it in bed. She's like wrapping her whole arms around it. And so I'm just picturing like when Goldie lays with me and I just like kind of tuck my whole little body around her. But no, she's like bear hugging this dog. So yeah, that changes a lot for me in how I view this dog. But
yeah, I thought too, because like I thought it was a lap dog that she was cuddling with in bed. But now I'm like, oh, it's wolf size and could potentially actually be involved with a fight later, because that's a dog that will try to protect you.
Well, and it's not even like fully grown yet. Mm-hmm. It's like big for its size, mm-hmm. but it's still a puppy.
Chunky paws.
It's just a big puppy.
Yeah, it's sort of in that same scene with her and Nehemia talking. They are still withholding little bits of information from each other, and I just keep waiting for them to trust each other with the information they have. They do seem to just hold back, which I hate to see in a friendship.
I have notes on that later, too.
I do, too.
Good. It kind of comes up later, so.
Yeah, it definitely does. I had a quick note in this chapter that there were word marks described as glowing green word marks. And I was mm-hmm. like, oh, another one for the evil green Disney magic theory.
That was such an off-the-cuff joke that I have noticed since. I was like, I was right. Like, it is the evil green Disney magic.
It really is.
I love it.
I just had a quick comment on the dream when it said, like, each step felt like she was wading through mud. And I was like, oh, man, that's so relatable. Mm-hmm. If you've ever had a real dream and you felt like you're running and you feel like you're super slow, it's just like, oh, man, it's just like a little detail that she put in there that's like very relatable.
It's the same thing as like if you get into a fight in your dream and you punch someone and it feels like a full force swing and it hits them like a wet piece of paper. And you're like, what is going on with my strength?
Yep.
I got that too. I was like,
or if you're like John, you have a dream that you're punching somebody, but you actually punch your wife.
Did he really? I need to hear this story.
Right, in the kidney.
Oh my God. I mean, the kidney.
I socked her right in the back, man. In the dream, I was fighting with my brother.
Which is so random.
So it was like a full swing sleep punch or just like a jab while he was.
It was a hard punch.
It was a jab, but like I got her pretty good.
Wow. Did you have a bruise?
No, but we both forgot. Like, as soon as he did it, it woke me up. And he was like, immediately, he was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And then we both like forgot about it because we went back to sleep. It was like in the middle of the night. And then the next day, like 12 hours later, we were in the car in the middle of a conversation. And I was like, wait, did you punch me last night? Anyway, it's just funny because John is like a very still and quiet sleeper. Like, he like never moves or like makes any noise in his sleep at this one time.
That's amazing.
Anyway.
I'm sorry, Con. Glad you're okay.
Thank you.
The next thing I had for chapter 4 is totally back on my nerd grind. But I
He's gone off about this.
Yeah, I was reading the book and I literally was like sitting across the room from Laura and I was like, oh my God, are you serious? And she's like, don't tell me, don't tell me. I was like, okay, it has nothing to do with the story. But later on, I was like, she had a clock on her table. And I was like, they have a clock tower, obviously, but that's like weights and pulleys mostly. But to have a clock on a table, they need springs. Do they have like printing presses, fireworks? That's 16th or 17th century. I had a picture in my mind of how everything looked. And now I'm like, well, the castle probably has different masonry styles than I was thinking. And she was like, I can't believe you're so upset about that. And I was like, well, I am. It's the most upsetting thing I've found in this book so far.
Well, and I was like, it's a made up world. So like they could have this technology before this other technology.
Right. I said that too. Like they used to have magic. Maybe that either enhanced the tech they had or it slowed down the tech they had. Because if they had magic, they probably didn't need all this fancy technology.
Sure.
But still, I was in like feudal Europe in my head. And now I'm like, oh, never mind. We're Victorian all of a sudden. I got to change it up.
Yeah, we talked about how this world is kind of like Onward, the Disney movie, where it's like a fantasy world, but they don't use magic anymore. Like magic went away.
Oh, yeah.
And they just have like light bulbs and cars and whatever, and they just don't need magic until somebody does.
Total me problem. It's not the book at all. That's just my mental image being shaken. But I just want to know where we're at.
Makes sense.
Anyway, go ahead.
I was just getting emotional in this chapter over the part where Selena and Kael are talking about like how he's still struggling with killing Cain. And she says, you will never forget killing Cain, but I will never forget what you did to save me either. And I was like, my heart.
Well, and I was hoping that would help Kael like move on or like, you know, accept what has happened. You know, I thought that was cute too. All of them.
I know. I love all of it.
Uh-huh. Me too. Yeah.
I do also like part of that whole like finding the clock thing too was like her shopping trips. I found very funny how it's like it said she's spending every single penny of what she gets and like her whole room is filled with constantly new things. I thought that was pretty funny.
Go off, queen.
I mean, she spent a year in jail. And before that, she used all her money to pay off some debt that she got like roped into and stuff. So like enjoy it. Like,
why not?
Slay, queen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That thread drip.
Get that thread drip.
I think chocolate was mentioned like 4 times in that paragraph, which is totally understandable.
We know she loves candy, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Specifically unmarked candy.
It's the best kind.
Yeah. I'm going to bet that those candy deliveries from Dorian probably stopped, though, is what I'd be
at. Yeah. Gotta buy your own candy now.
With the money Dorian's family gives you.
Yep. I'll never sneak into your room and leave candy on your pillow again.
Okay, so we just talked about Kyle's crazy, I don't know, timeline. Not crazy. You're not crazy, darling. You're wonderful. But you are fixated on this one thing of like the timeline and what's going on. And then Nehemia just says like, well, you could shoot her, like talking about someone. And I was like, shoot like a gun? Like, do they have guns in this world now?
Yeah.
And then it was later that I was like, oh, he's probably talking about like a bow and arrow or something, maybe.
Grab your muskets.
You all said I was crazy about it. Who's crazy now? It's ambiguous. They're going to say, well, I'll just call him up. And you'll be like, what? Yeah. What do you mean call him up?
Let me just FaceTime him real quick.
Okay. So in chapter 6, this is when Selena finally goes down to, I guess, is it like the tomb? And she finally goes back again after, I think, avoiding it for a couple months, trying to like forget about the problem kind of a thing. And she meets Mort. Who is this?
Mort.
He's like the door knocker. I think he is a skull. And so at first I was like, okay, this is creepy. Like this like skull thing.
I love it.
But then he's like, ends up being kind of cute. He's funny. He's sarcastic. He's just like this weird little side character that is stuck to a door. And so it took me a while at the beginning when I wrote in chapter 6 this note about him being creepy. I think by the end I'm like, okay, no, he's cute. I'm a fan.
The voice that Elizabeth Evans gives to Mort,
in the audiobook
narration, is so good. Her little voice for him is so funny, and it just kind of adds to his character. Anyway, when I was reading this part, I like made a note because I was like, I don't remember if this was just like some conveniently created character who just happens to pop up in book 2, because she goes down to the tomb several times in the first book, but obviously he doesn't like speak to her or anything. So I was like, why is he just like randomly popping up now? But in Throne of Glass, like in the first book in chapter 25, the very first time she goes down to the tomb, it says she stood before an old wooden door, a bronze knocker in the form of a skull hung in its center. It seemed to be smiling. Yeah. She just kind of like sneaks it in there. And I think that's really the only like mention of it in the first book.
I like how he's like, I had to wait till you saw a bunch of weird stuff before I showed up. Yeah. Like,
that's what I was going to say.
I had to vet you first. Like,
right.
Make sure you wouldn't have like a full on panic attack if I started talking to you.
Right.
That was funny.
Makes me wonder what other things might be waiting for that moment too. To be like, oh yeah, she's good. We can make contact now.
She's past initiation.
Yeah. Mort says she's cool, guys. When we meet Archer in the next segment, I pretty much instantly decided I didn't like him. Didn't need another Dorian-type character outside the castle for other characters to fawn over.
But then they also introduce Roland, who apparently is kind of in that same boat.
Roland does seem like sort of the same, but maybe a bit more aggressive on his end, where Dorian sort of passively accepts that ladies fawn over him. But Roland is like... Like he tries to get them to come into him as well.
Also, every time Roland's name is mentioned, I just keep thinking about the episode of How I Met Your Mother, where the barista at the coffee shop calls Barney Swarley, and they make fun of him the whole episode for his name and keep calling him Swarley. And then at the very end, they introduce her to Robin, and she calls her Roland. She's like, it's nice to meet you, Roland. Anyway, I don't know if that's just like the only other character I've ever encountered named Roland, but I keep thinking about the crazy eye barista from... Yeah, I met your mother.
I don't think Kyle's ever seen that show. Like, he knows the show-ish.
Oh, man, so good.
Not a single episode. I missed the train.
I think I only watched it because you told me to, Con.
Probably. That's fair. I think I did make you watch the whole thing. And then you finished the series before I did.
Yeah, that's probably true.
That was a whole long tangent. But anyway, also in chapter 7, I just had this note because Selena like must discover where the king's power comes from and what he plans to do before it's too late. And Selena goes on this whole monologue where she's like, it's already too late. Like, where was Elena 10 years ago? Like, where was she with all of her ridiculous quests when the world truly needed them? And like all this stuff. And she goes on this like whole tangent. And she's like, the world is already in ruin and I won't be set on some fool's errand. And I'm like, okay, Selena, asking the real questions. She won't leave her alone. And we're like, dude, where were you 10 years ago when the magic disappeared or whatever? Anyway.
And I guess I got the history wrong in one of our earlier episodes, because in this book, it sort of clarified it for me that magic left before the king outlawed it. Before his official outlawing was made was when magic left, which I find even more interesting than him outlawing it first, because what was the actual reason it left?
I thought it would be like because he outlawed it and people were dying. And so magic was like, I'll just get out of here before you all die or something.
Yeah. And maybe he was targeting magical things without outlawing it. And maybe that's the reason they left. But that stuck with me because I was like, whoa, another timeline thing I have to worry about.
More information.
Okay, so chapter 8, this is when Selena goes and visits Caltaine down in the prison. And I was really sad for Caltaine. I think this is the first time I've had true, because at the end of the last one where Parrington tricks her and she's like getting sent off to prison and she's still like yelling and screaming. And
it's hard to feel bad for her still. Yeah.
Yeah. Because she had just done that to Selena. But like now it's 2 months later and you get this whole description of her down there in the prison. And it is really sad. But the first time that she looks up, it says, Caltaine lifted her head, her black eyes gleaming in recognition. And I was just like, her full eyes are just black. I don't know what the color of her eyes were before that, but I would assume that's something to do with the rings that the guys wear. And then I was just literally almost cried when she was like, because Parrington comes and visits and the guard looks away. As much as I say, I hope that that sounds bad, but I hope that he's like only practicing his evil magic on her and not doing anything weird or creepy. But I don't have faith that he's not being weird or creepy. So it makes me sad. Makes me really sad for her.
Is the dark magic not weird or creepy?
I mean, it is, but not in a way that I can like sympathize with on it. Like, it's not something that happens in our real world for me to understand.
Yeah. I'll admit, like, I felt pretty dumb at first because I read her black eyes and I kind of moved on until it mentioned the Duke, because I was thinking black eyes, like she got punched in the eye. And then I went, no, it means like black eyes. Gotcha.
I mean, it could be both.
It could be both.
Porque no los dos.
It's not funny, but it's funny.
I just noted that in this chapter, like, Dorian was sort of moping around. So I just wrote that the moping switched from Kale in the first book to Dorian in this book, now that Dorian's not getting the attention and that they're just a couple of dummies. And I thought, is this how annoying it is to have guy friends who like want more out of a relationship as a girl? Like, is that what it feels like? I don't know. You tell me, girls.
She's everything. He's just Ken.
Oh, got him. That was amazing.
That's what I kept thinking about. I was like, I'm just Kale.
I love that.
I want the whole ballad now. Just like, yes, for Kale. I'm just Kale.
And Dorian. They're the two Kens.
Yes, the two Kens.
Somebody please make that and animate it or something and send it to us.
Please send it to us.
Fan art. I need
at
something.
Ryan Reynolds. Get on it.
Okay, so in chapter 9, this is my big theory. Ooh. I said it in the last book that I know there are names, other characters that exist in this book series because I see like their names listed in random TikToks. And so whenever they're talking about this new person, this lost princess, I guess, from Terrasen, I was like, oh, that's her. That's it. That's canon in my head. I have no idea if that's true, but that's my thought. Because at the end of the last book too, Elena was talking about some sort of bloodline tie between them. And Elena is from Terrasen. Like, that's where she's from. Mm. And then there's some lost princess that also seems very fantasy to me, that there's some lost princess somewhere needing to be found. Like, that's just feels like a trope. And so here it is, that Selena is Aelin. That's my guess. That's the theory. Ooh. The internet can laugh at me because I may be wrong, but that's my guess. So
I love
putting
it.
I'm putting it here in episode 1 of Crown of Midnight, because when in 7 books from now, if I'm right, I can laugh about it.
There you go.
7 books is how long it's going to take. And it's a footnote at the end. Oh, by the way.
P.S. Lauren was right.
Anyways.
So good.
Yeah. But I think her parents are the ones that, like, they died when the king was taking over Terrasen. And like, that's this whole drama of her parents dying and why she doesn't want anyone to know her name. Mm. Like, that whole thing. It feels like it all fits together. So
she said that wasn't she found after that at like age 14 or 8?
Eight.
It's either 8 or 14.
Which is 10 years ago. Right? And that's when magic, boom. That's when magic went away. That's when all the things happened. Because isn't she 18?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah,
she's 19 now, was, I think.
Yeah. I thought she turned 18 in the first book.
But she's around there, which would have been around the time that her parents died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that magic went away and like all that stuff. Something major's going on there.
All right.
Anyways.
What would we call that? Princess Watch?
Lost Princess Watch.
2024. Oh my gosh. Well, now I put this in chapter 9, but now I'm not sure if this was chapter 9 or not. But when Selena's talking to Caltaine, Caltaine says this thing at the end of their conversation where she says, "They encourage the crows to fly past here, and my headaches are worse every day, worse and worse, and full of all of those flapping wings." Selena was like, "Oh, she's crazy." But I feel like sometimes in books where like people say something like that and they just brush it off, I'm like, "Wait, but what actually, what does that mean?" Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what that even would mean.
My guess was like when Cain was doing all his evil whatever. Yeah, there was all these creatures, but then Elena was also there with like the wind and all the, you know, so like maybe she's like coming out of her opioid, like she's withdrawals. In withdrawals or something. Yeah. And so maybe like she's seeing something. That was my guess, is like somehow she's like half in one world, half in the other or something like that, which is making her crazy.
Yeah. She's in the upside down.
Yeah.
No, I thought the same thing. I thought they were the wings of those little shadow beings that she could hear or something like that.
All right. Neat.
Who knows?
Yep. 10.
Chapter 10. The only note I had was just a stupid thing. When Selena put on her kids' gloves, I know that it meant like baby goat gloves, but I can't help but picture her like, because she was dressed up in like her saucy red dress, expensive, like probably new fur lined coat. But then like she just puts on these little like Disney princess or like, you know, Yo Gabba Gabba mittens, like with little characters on them, because just as she puts on her kids' gloves. And I
don't think it said kids. I think it just said kid.
No.
Kid gloves. Well,
kid gloves. Yeah. There was no apostrophe, yes, but still, kid gloves. I pictured my daughter's little mittens, little frayed edges and stuff.
Same.
Little pom-poms.
She got little hands.
She got new little hands.
Yeah, new baby hands.
Yeah.
John had that highlighted too in our Kindle notes.
I did.
Yep. I like didn't even pick up on it when I read it.
I had to research it because I knew Kyle would. So I was like, I gotta know what it is too.
Yeah, see, I do the opposite where I'm like, Kyle will know, so he'll tell me later.
There you go.
I mean, yeah. I did at first, like I said, I legitimately thought they were kid gloves, and then by the time I was done reading, I was like, oh, it means a baby goat.
I found it. John pasted kid leather, skin from a young goat. Ah. That's the whole note. I was like, what?
Leather gloves. I do like that she's spending money, like she's treating herself.
Yeah.
Like, she's,
yeah, treat you yourself. Know,
treat yourself.
Go off, queen.
Slay, queen.
It's crushing it.
She's enjoying all the fashions she's missed in the past, what, like years that
decade.
She was in?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess decade, unless she was getting treated to like high society as an apprentice assassin. I don't know, but.
I think she did have some nice things in the assassin's keep, but like.
She went to some murder balls, so she had to have.
The murder balls.
She had to have. Some outfit.
Maybe stuff like she got to wear it, but it wasn't hers because she was so in debt. So like it's nice to just have her own things. She can finally write her name on the inside of her kid gloves, you know, and in case anybody finds them.
Property of Lena. Yeah.
She crosses that out and writes Lily, and I gotta remember everyone. Right, well,
gosh.
In chapter 11, Selena is quoted, I guess, more her narration than her actual words, saying, "But Nehemia had sworn to never lie to her, and if she'd known anything, she would have said it." But that is historically untrue, and I don't know why she thinks that.
Oh,
my goodness.
Goldie.
I'm sorry. Goldie gets real riled up when I talk about their relationship between these two girls.
Tell him, Goldie.
Yeah, anyway. Yep. I was just saying that, like, I don't know why Selena thought that if Nehemia knew something, she'd tell her, because it has never been the fact. She's been hiding things. She knows she has been, because they've already admitted to that.
Yeah.
You can't expect someone to just, like, I know I've expected them to gain trust faster than they have, but you can't, like, expect someone to come in and tell you not only who they are in their life story, but every secret they know. And if they don't say, well, you lied to me because you didn't tell me about year 3 of high school or whatever.
Important facts.
Yeah.
In the last book, they had said, like, and we'll tell the truth from here on out. But, like, both of them are keeping secrets.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, Selena's still withholding stuff from her. So, like, why would she expect her to do that?
Yeah, that's the thing. Telling the truth is not the same as not withholding information. You can be truthful, but still not say everything. Just another gripe I have. I love being a hater. Add it to the list.
Okay, so chapter 12, she finally kills somebody. Yay, so she is an assassin.
Barely.
She did it. Yeah, it wasn't like she intended to go there and do that. It wasn't like, I don't even know if that's counted as an assassination because it wasn't like a plan. I mean, she killed someone. It's murder either way. Yeah. But like, whatever happened. Murder. But of course, murder. It was a regularly named person. Yeah. Poor Davis.
Classic. R.I.P. Dave.
Barely is the thing. She's always like in her head said like, I could disarm him in 5 seconds and slit his throat. And then like the first time she had a chance, stabbed in the arm. Way to go.
She did say he was strong. Short, but strong. Davis is the first short king short that king. We've come across, you know?
Yeah.
It's just funny because Kyle thought Duke Parrington. He was imagining Duke of Wesselton from Frozen.
Not so much. Yeah.
And so it's like everybody who's actually like some huge, tall, whatever, Kyle's imagining some short little dude. Like,
mm-hmm. Not Davis. Davis.
But Grave, Selena calls him a little man. I don't know if he actually was little, but.
I thought it was more just like a dig at him.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Great dig.
Yeah.
Thanks for describing that for us all, John.
You're welcome. That's what I'm here for.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sure there's someone out there who is like, oh. After
dig, Grave. Oh, yeah. Got it. These guys are funny.
Listen to 4 whole episodes and I'm finally catching on.
I need to mention, without any prompting, this is the first time we hear of Lysandra. That's all.
Okay. I don't remember if that is, but okay, sure.
Well, she wasn't actually there.
Yeah, she wasn't actually there.
The one that Selena had, like, basically sworn to kill if she ever saw her again. Yeah.
High school drama.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Year 3.
Yeah. It was like a list of people that she was trying to avoid at the party, I think, right?
Yeah.
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 So.
Okay, so chapter 13. This is like, OMG, it's happening moment. But it said she had hardly known where she was going while the Gloriella tore through her, which was the poison that she got from Davis's dagger. All she'd known was that she had to get somewhere safe, and somehow she wound up exactly where she knew she'd be the safest. And she showed up at Kale's office, I'm guessing, or maybe it was his room. But either way, it was so precious and so cute. And I was swooning. I was having a whole moment.
So sweet.
I was going to say, because we mentioned Davis died and he had a normal name. And another sort of normal name is Archer. It's become more normal lately. I do think he will die because of his name, but also because of the plot.
That's it.
I think, like, because he's been given this certain amount of time to get things done. I picture it sort of being like a poetically sad death where he's like just gotten his stuff wrapped up. He's going to get out without having to die, and then he's going to die, either because he was found out or Selena's forced to do it herself for whatever reason. But either way, I'm betting he dies.
Oh, yeah, and he makes that comment to Selena, too, where he's like, just a few more weeks, right?
Right, and that's what kind of tipped me off to it, where he was like, well, that's a really hopeful thing to say for someone who doesn't plan on dying soon.
I also could see him, like, betraying her in some way. Like, I don't know how he could get away with it, but, like, telling her secret just so that he could survive longer in the position that he is in or, you know, like, stay around or something like that. But I don't think he's just going to run off into the wherever, like the other people that she saved did. But
I thought that for a moment, too, because of how much time had passed since they had seen each other and how instantly they decided to trust each other again. They didn't, like, do any vetting. Like, a lot has changed in that time, but both of them were just so willing to be like, oh, yeah, I remember you. I fully trust you. And I feel like for a proclaimed great assassin, that's not a smart move to make for people who are high movers in the city. His life could have changed, especially if he is suspected to be a part of some rebellious group.
I feel like she definitely had several moments just in the beginning of this book where she just seemed like her age, like she seemed young and like she was making a lot of judgments just from like a really naive mindset and like just kind of missing stuff. Archer says like later that he immediately recognized Kael. Like he wasn't fooled by that.
Yeah.
He knew who that was. So I wouldn't say that he was like fully trusting her, but she was, I mean, giving him a lot of information that could have gotten her killed.
The fact that he didn't mention it in the moment though does show like he is playing some cards close to his chest. Like he took note of the fact of who she was with and stuff like that. So
Yeah.
There's a like little mini in-between part where you just get like something happening with Dorian on the side. And it was like, okay, that's super weird and random. But I wrote the quote, as he turned, he could have sworn he saw a glimpse of a faint ring of frost around where his body had been laying on the couch. But when he looked back to see it more fully, there was nothing. And it was like he was having a dream and everything was cold and frozen. And there was some sort of frost. I wrote at first, like, is he being haunted? Like, is there like a ghost? Because there was like this like creepy black figure in the library earlier or something, you know, because I just felt like horror movie 101. Oh, it's cold. You can see your breath, which they described all these things later in chapter 18. He was cold again, like waiting for Selena to get back to her room or whatever. And it was also cold. So I thought maybe it has to do with his power coming alive or whatever was happening with that. I have absolutely no idea. This is one where I have no theories. I'm just going to wait and see what happens. But it felt worth mentioning, like something weird is going on with Dorian.
Well, and like in, I think it was in chapter 18, when he's like in the council meeting, he keeps getting really mad. Like he's getting really upset. And it says like an icy rage.
Mm. Yeah.
I think that was how they described this kind of emotion too.
I said he was like hulking out. Like he couldn't control his anger. And then he like just punched the wall. And then he was hulking. Yep. Okay, so in chapter 15, this was like my first like jaw-dropping holy cow chapter of this entire book, like this entire series, I guess, because we've read two now. First of all, when Raina Goldsmith was singing, I loved the descriptions of it. It almost felt like, at first I was going to say, like, it almost felt like she had magic over the room because everyone was so entranced with her. And even Dorian, I think, said, like, it almost felt like magic, but he wouldn't say that word or something like that. And then the whole moment with Selena and Kale over there looking at each other. And of course, poor Dorian on the side seeing it and stuff like that. It was so sweet and so cute. And then it just turns out of nowhere. And it's just like, wait, what am I reading right now? And I could not believe what happened to Raina. There's like so many things to unpack in this little moment. But like her whole little speech at the end when she was dying and she just started listing all the people. And I was just like, yes, go off. You are amazing. I love you. I am so sad you are dying. And it sucks too, because like no one's going to know how freaking awesome that was. That was a jaw dropping moment.
Womp womp.
Yes.
Kyle. Kyle. No, not. No. Have more emotion than that.
Womp womp.
Womp womp. Womp.
Stop. There
it is. That was nice.
I did like, I think it was in that same chapter too, where when Dorian was looking at them, or this might have been earlier, where he like took those two deep breaths and the second one was him letting it go, where he just decided, where he's like, it's not a part of me anymore. I'm giving, I am giving it up. So I thought that was nice for him to show him willing himself to move, to try to move past that.
I have it highlighted. Hold on. It says he would move on because he would not be like the ancient kings in the song and keep her for himself. She deserved a loyal, brave knight who saw her for what she was and did not fear her. And he deserved someone who would look at him like that, even if the love wouldn't be the same, even if the girl wouldn't be her. So Dorian closed his eyes and took another long breath. And when he opened his eyes, he let her go.
It's so precious. That's so nice. Like, good for him.
Just like such good writing between the three of them. I just love it.
Yes. And like in the whole last book where I was doing all this, like, is it Team Dorian? Is it Team Kale? Like all this stuff. And I just wasn't sure. And I'm like, okay, I'm sure. Not just because it's like very clearly like Dorian's giving her up and whatever, but it's just like, this feels right. As where before I was still, because she was with Dorian, but I'm still like, I don't know. It doesn't feel right there. You know, it's finally, it's like feeling settled to me. So I hope that their end game, I really like them together, but time will tell.
Time will tell. Oh, also I have this little note on my reread of the scene with Raina Goldsmith where like, I think Selena even thinks like while she's singing the song that she's like, I'm surprised the king is like cool with this. And then obviously he's not, but he's like about to like decapitate her or whatever. And he's like, any last words? And he just lets her talk. But I'm like, I mean, I'm glad she said all the things that she did, but I'm like, why would he like invite her to speak more when he's about to kill her for like speaking out specifically against his ruler about things that he's forbidden in the kingdom? I was just like, okay.
I thought the same like, thing, especially because they're in like that hidden dungeon. No one else is hearing this, and I doubt anyone ever will.
I mean, she listed people who are dead, but she could have listed people who are alive and the rebellion. Yeah, we'll get you, or, you know, something that would like be more info.
I only thought of it as like a last fake courtesy to be like, yeah, say what you want.
some kind of way to humiliate her in death. Yeah.
What a sad loss to the world and the talent. Ugh, that was just like, regardless of everything else. Ugh. She's I'm a team Reyna, and I know that she's gone, but she was only there for two chapters and I love everything about her. So
maybe her song will make a comeback and maybe we'll hear it again from others who are listening.
Ooh. Maybe it'll be on the radio that they have, you know?
Kind of? Yeah. Did you guys hear that on the live stream last night?
Next up, we have The Legend of Terrison by Rena Goldsmith. Enjoy her first classic.
Okay. Also during this scene with Reyna, he said that the king had secret guards. The secret guards brought them down and were doing the things. And so I was like, whoa, secret guards? Like, are these guards that like Kale doesn't know about too? What is about them a secret? Are they just undercover? Especially because Kale doesn't act like he knows all of this creepy evil stuff.
Yeah.
Or at least I hope that he doesn't. I hope that he's a better guy than would allow that to happen. And obviously Dorian doesn't know about stuff. So like stuff has to be happening in a secret, creepy way. It was briefly said, but I was like, whoa.
Selena mentions that too, I think, in like her narration, not her words, but how she's hoping that, because she was down in the dungeon with Caltaine and seeing how she was treated. And she was like, surely Kale doesn't know about this, because if he did, something would be happening about it. So it'd be interesting
Kale,
to see.
He like went and handled it, you know, because his hands are all bloodied up. But like, that doesn't mean it fixed the problem, was what I had thought too. But
either there are guards that are like playing both sides, or like guards that Kale may know, but he doesn't know that they do this with the king. Or there's just completely different set of guards, perhaps in other secret parts of the castle that the king draws from.
Yeah, I mean, Kale's like the captain of the royal guard, but it sounds like he is just is responsible for the castle, not necessarily like that. Like, he doesn't go with the king. He doesn't like travel with the king when the king leaves. And apparently those people keep dying.
So. Yeah, right. Yeah.
I was going to say, he came back with none of them. Either that or he left them to kill other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it is just like a separate group or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Maybe they're still alive, but they come back as different names and different citizens, and they're the secret guard. That's the secret one.
The secret is that it's the same person. It's the same guards.
But no one knows. They wear a fake mustache or something. Mm.
They're like doing that thing where they are acting like someone else on the circle, and they're just sending messages as that
they're person. Catfishing.
Yeah, they're catfishing guards.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So in chapter 16, this is when Nehemia and Selena are talking in her room, and she finally shows her like the secret passageway behind the
tapestry.
What's that giant thing called? Thank you. Tapestry. That giant thing behind the tapestry. I thought it was interesting that Nehemia was like, oh, is that Elena? Like, she's in her room every single day, but you've never looked at the tapestry of this giant person there. I thought that was funny. I'm really glad she finally told Nehemia. I wish she just had like a friend, almost like a partner in the whole thing, like a little duo to like solve the mysteries or whatever. But I did appreciate that they went down there and did the whole thing. When they got back up, she was telling Nehemia about the riddle that she found in Davis's book of word marks or whatever. I just thought it was weird how quickly Nehemia was like, no, that's not it. No, that's not it either. Like, no, it's going to be this. Yeah. It felt almost like Nehemia was trying to like get her off the trail. Selena was close or something, and Nehemia was like trying to guide her the wrong way. Maybe I was just reading that wrong. I just felt like everything Selena was saying, which did feel very obvious in some of it, like, oh, of course it's the eye that's on her necklace, or of course it's, you know, like whatever. But for like Nehemia to also say that just felt, I felt weird about that conversation.
Yeah. Mm. I have a question about that later too, that I just was going to bring up. Like, why is she being so sketchy? Cause like, she even says like, oh, don't worry about it. I'll look into it, but it might take me a while to get some answers. Like, she's trying to get her to just like stop investigating it altogether, which is just, it does. She seems like super suspicious in this conversation.
I had that written as well, where I was like, I'm glad she's in the loop, but I wish her and Mort would stop being cryptic with like riddles and stuff. To me, cryptic is like fantasy miscommunication trope. Like, you ask for information and they're like, answer my riddle 3. And you're like, just tell me, dude. Like, I'm so sick of it.
Yeah. I don't know. I just felt weird about that. And then Mort said something that goes with my Selena being this Aelin Lost Princess Lady guy was guy.
Princess Lady guy.
Yeah, that's her official title. And it's because Elena, I imagine, was one of the people, wasn't it her father that made Mort on this door? Somebody did.
Yeah, yes. Brennan, right?
Brennan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so yeah. that's the bloodline there. And then I think that Selena is part of that bloodline. And so when in the actual physical book, it said, lie to you, italicized the word you, to you. Oh, I couldn't lie to you. And I was just like, oh, because there's emphasis on you being the person I can't, because you're of this royal bloodline and I can't lie to you because it's like part of this magic spell or something. That was my guess. But I can't tell you the truth either. Because your question was stupid, was basically how that really went.
He does call her out on that, where he's like, you gotta ask the right things. And then she like says something, he's like, no, I'm not gonna tell you what to ask. So that's his cryptic thing. I'm not a fan of.
Right. But it did feel like there was something specific there, or it wouldn't be italicized. Like, you know, I could lie to Nehemia, she's standing right there, but I can't lie to you, you know. Like,
interesting. That did not even cross my mind.
Yeah. It is also weird because you mentioned like it's odd that Nehemia did not find the door behind the tapestry, because she was like literally under her bed writing word marks at one. Like what
part? Yeah, obviously moving furniture.
What part of her room has she not explored at this point? But
which maybe she had. Maybe that's why she was like trying to pull Selena off the trail, because she technically already knew something down there. I don't know.
And I doubt Mort would just tell her like, yeah, she's been down here before. Like he doesn't. If he's already being withholding in some things, why not another? Mm-hmm. You mentioned the riddle, too. This is another sort of nerdy thing. But due to the interaction with the riddle in that scene, when it was found, it is only with the eye that one can see rightly. I thought it was interesting because it's almost like word for word, a line from a different poem called The Little Prince. But eye is heart in that poem. And I only like vaguely remember it. I didn't have time to look it up.
It is only with the heart that one can see rightly.
Yeah, is what the original one was. I couldn't look it up, but I vaguely remember the story. It's not just like a page long poem, but it has something to do with like the themes of appreciating yourself and the world you live in more due to your responsibility to others. So it'd be interesting if that theme also comes through in this book. If she is truly borrowing from that, it may just be coincidence, but I feel like a one word difference is a little too much of a coincidence. Yeah. But
I also thought with the word rightly that it was going to be the right eyeball.
I honestly thought so too.
Very literal. Yeah. Here's your eyes, but only the right one.
I just Googled this and it says, it is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. Ooh. That's the rest of the line. That's like the rest of the quote.
Nice. Yeah.
And they can't see anything in the little hole.
Right.
Okay, but the whole time, I was like, why wouldn't you try to put the amulet in the eye?
Yeah, at least just try it.
I thought that
like
too.
Immediately. Yeah. I'm like, why wouldn't you at least just try it? It's right there.
Mm-hmm. I also thought because it was like an actual hole or whatever, I thought maybe the sword fits in it or something that's like left in the room. Yeah. You know, I don't know.
Look into the eye and see if it like reveals something outside of the castle wall.
Well, that's what they tried to do.
Yeah, they did that.
Okay, I must have just misremembered it then. I'll be right back. I gotta go reread the book.
Yeah, you can do your homework next time.
Actually, they did look into the eye.
Also, if you were listening to John's descriptions at the beginning or his chapter recap.
Really?
Yeah. You missed it twice.
Well, I'm fired.
Anyway.
Okay. Hold on. Real quick. This was also part of Nehemia and Selena's conversation, where Nehemia like sits her down and is trying to have this whole like intervention about how she's upset that Selena's killing people. And she says, with each person you kill, I'm finding fewer and fewer excuses for remaining your friend. And I was like, hello, Miss Girl, you befriended an assassin. Like, what did you think she was going to do?
I also thought it was really dumb that she was like, my parents aren't going to like you.
What? You know she's stuck here for 4 more years at least. Like, when's she meeting your parents? Because they're not coming to Rifthold.
Well, even Selena was like, I didn't realize I needed your parents' approval or something like that. It felt like a weird boyfriend.
Why are you holding this over her head all of a sudden? You knew she was an assassin. Like,
And you know the whole deal.
You were trying to help her become the king's champion.
Yeah.
You were literally there.
This is all quite literally your fault. You saved her life so she could do this.
I get it a little bit in the sense that like they've had multiple conversations where Nehemia has basically been like, pick a side, and Selena has literally stayed quiet and not said anything, and Nehemia like walks off. So like I get she's frustrated at this point, however many conversations in, but I do think taking that tact to get her frustration out feels wrong.
Yeah, it was just funny too, because like she's like saying all of this like it's so serious, this is a deal breaker for their friendship, and then Selena's like, okay, actually I haven't killed anyone, and she's like,
the king's going to kill you. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. What do you want from her?
Yeah.
And then let me tell you all the things. And she's like, no, no, you're wrong. You're wrong. I'll do it. You're fine. Mm-hmm.
And it also seems like, and I know they're young, but such a very like, if you don't stop, I am not your friend anymore. Sort
of. Yes, like, it did feel that way.
Like, okay, I guess.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Anyway, that whole conversation was just funny to me.
Okay, so into chapter 17, I am just dying over every interaction that Selena and Kale have together. It is my favorite. And so the quote here is, the rest of the world quieted into nothing. In that moment, after 10 long years, Selena looked at Kale and realized she was home. And I just thought it was so precious. I know that there's this whole character I don't know who is Sam. Like, we haven't read anything about him other than that she did love him at some point. But this is after 10 years. So this means, like, since her parents had died, since she left Terrison, since, like, all the things that have happened to her in her life, like, this is the first time that she's felt someone. And so that just feels, like, way more deep. Way more like an adult relationship potentially than whatever she had before. I was swooning hardcore. I'm dying. I love it. Give me more, please. Sign me up. I'm a fan.
In my Kindle notes, I typed, so woo. Like S-U-H-W-O-O-O-O-O-N.
So yeah. I am a fan. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And then, like, that's why they're, like, dancing out there and having this whole little moment. Of course, Kale ended it, like, the most awkward thing ever, where he just, like, but also stand guard and just walks away. Like,
bye.
Classic Kale.
Smooth. But I like that Nahimi is, like, wing-womaning for them as well, like, trying to talk to Dorian, like, just let them be. You know, they'll never understand how it is because we're royalty and they're not or whatever, even though I think that Selena is, but that's just my theory. And so it's like, you know, they're having their own regular person moment. Well, they won't understand our lives. We won't understand theirs, like that whole thing. But then she starts doing like word marks, you know, like Dorian just says, like, starts, you know, like drawing lines or something, but like she's totally doing some sort of word marks, because then she brings up this like super deep conversations about all the stuff that's happening in, is it Calcula?
Calicula.
Calicula. Yeah. Yes. And so I thought like maybe she's doing like a silent spell, like no one can hear what they're talking about so that she could have this conversation. Cause it also talks about how all these ladies are just staring at them because of Dorian.
Oh, yeah.
Staring at Dorian, not staring at her. Maybe she was trying to like keep it quiet, but then she turns to Dorian and does like word marks on his chest. And then that like awakens this Hulk inside of him or whatever's happening, you know, like something deep inside of him, something like was starting to awaken. So that was very interesting.
Yeah. It said that something deep within him had opened its eye and it was just lots of eye talk in this book. It's too bad Bill's missing out. He died too early. A lot of juicy eyes in this book.
Juicy eyes.
Well, maybe that's why there's so many now, because Bill stopped eating them all.
Eyes are so, they're back in vogue. We have our eyes again.
No, I did notice that too, though, with the eye thing. And I thought maybe that would be Dorian's tie to something happening in the tomb. Like maybe Dorian is this missing piece or something. I mean, like, obviously he's royal bloodline of, where are they at?
Rifthold?
Rifthold, thank you. He's like royal bloodline here and she's the other one, which are these ancient people. So maybe he's also tied down there somehow. But maybe he's like the eye that's needed.
Yeah. Do you think that, because I just had this thought.
His right eye specifically.
To see rightly. Or have any theories about his bloodline, if it does have any ties to magic, on his like mom's or dad's side?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, we've already heard that the queen's not really mentioned further on, so I'd probably guess not her, I guess. But the king obviously has some connections through his little ring, at least. Maybe not blood, but...
Wouldn't that be kind of awkward that they were, like, making out a bunch if they were secretly related?
I mean, it's, like, a long time, right? Like, it's been a long time since Elena and the Fae and, like, all of that. But, yes, that is also what I think, is that they are... really, really, really distant cousins.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I mean, people got over it in Star Wars. They can get over it in here.
Embarrassing.
What if Nahimi is like, they'll never understand we're royalty. And she's like a little moving in on her royalty line.
That was now. Her love spell. Yeah. She traced it
just
to his chest.
Trace this spell on your pecs.
Bing.
Give him a little flick right in the middle of his chest. There you go.
A little boop on the nose.
Yeah. N plus D heart. That's what it is. Man. Okay. Also, this whole time this is all happening, they're out there having a swoon-worthy dance, and Nahimi and Dorian are having this. And it's all for this party of her awful, awful little brother. Is it Holland? Holland? It's like his Holland. Welcome home. Sure. It's Holland's welcome back party from school or whatever. And he's just like this awful brat, spoiled child. And it makes me secretly worried that something's going to happen to Dorian, because like right now we have like a really bad king. And so like they defeat him or something. And then all of a sudden the next one to take the throne is going to end up being like Holland, who is also going to be some really bad king of some sort. It also brought up while I was typing this, does the king have a name and I'm just forgetting it? Or do we just keep calling him the king?
It's kind of a Highburn situation.
Yeah. Why does she keep doing that to us?
I don't know. There hasn't been a name mentioned yet.
Okay.
Wasn't Holland like not necessarily evil, but just like spoiled?
Yeah. That's what I said. Okay. Spoiled. Sure. Whatever.
Yeah.
I want it now.
I really do picture him as a blonde version of the Skittles berries and cream guy. So like the Renaissance straight cut, but instead of the black hair, he's got blonde hair.
What a throwback.
But I think they describe him as having like curly hair, I think, right? In the book.
Oh yeah, he has black curly hair.
But I just picture him as that. I mean, that's just like a perfect image. I don't know what it is about that haircut. Just like like eyebrow length, just straight across and then like down.
Lord Farquaad.
Farquaad haircut. Yeah.
Yeah.
But blonde.
But blonde.
Also short because he's young. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Short king.
Not a
king.
Short prince.
Yeah.
Another short king yet.
Another short king yet. Yeah. Anyway.
He's on the short list.
So funny. Okay, well, that brings us to chapter 18, which is the last one we read this time around. I am so glad that Selena's finally trying to learn word marks. Yeah. I was waiting for that to happen. I think she should have done that. Like, she's been studying them, but I'm surprised like some of that wasn't trying to learn what they are, like how to read them already. But I'm glad that she's trying to do that, even though in her first lesson, she was like not paying attention or something because she was so distracted by Kale because he's in their dance and the whole thing.
She's doing that thing where she's writing her name with his last name through the notebook. Like, I think it looks nice.
Selena Westphal. Yeah.
Selena, Mrs. Captain of the Royal Guard.
She tries all four of her names. Selena Westphal? Lillian Westphal?
Elentia Westphal.
I don't know which I'll go with, but little doodles of the word marks around it just for fun. The classic S that everyone draws.
The Superman.
Yeah, the Superman S. To your point, Lauren, it makes me think of like, what has she been studying? Like, does she not even know what one word mark means? Like,
yes.
I'm trying to think of this logically. Like, is it like a history of the word mark? Is it just like
what they do or something?
Right.
Thesis papers or hypothesis papers of like what they could be. But even still, it's like, have you really not gotten any information on?
Yeah. Earlier, it said that the books she had found weren't very informative. Whenever she found the book of word marks in Davis's study, she was like, wow, this is the most I found so far. But it was very descriptive of what they looked like at first. It was like, it's a diamond with two triangles pointed in. And I thought we were going to get more of that in there to where like we would also know. But
whenever she had initially washed away the chalk marks under her bed. And then later found like the little, we keep saying sticky note or whatever note from Nahemia, like that she should have been comparing them and seeing what it said and like trying to like decipher. And then to go now to be like, oh, she was literally not trying to do any of that ever. She has no idea what's going on. That's okay. And then they have the council meeting or whatever. And you see that Roland has one of the black friendship mood rings. And I know, I said, oh snap, that's what I wrote. But like Dorian notices finally that Roland has this ring, and so does Parrington, and so does the king. And so it's like he's finally maybe starting to notice some weird connection happening here, which I'm like kind of annoyed that it's taking people this long. Yes, exactly.
No, it's been like 6 months.
And it's almost more out of jealousy as why is Roland in this? Like, what did he do to get there so fast? Yeah. But it does happen like that, like leads him to this whole anger moment where then he goes into this hallway nobody else is, and he literally like Hulk punches the wall. And it, what is it? Spider
web crack.
Yeah, and he breaks the glass. And at first I read it and I was just like, oh, dang, he just punched it really hard. His hand is going to be broken or whatever. But like, he's completely fine. Something happened. Yeah. And then he started like vomiting because he thinks it's magic, which I also appreciated like that he had such a like a visceral reaction to it because it did prove Mort's point. he waited until she had seen just enough weird stuff before he'd started talking to her. Because yeah. Dorian over here saw one weird thing and he's throwing up all over the place. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's what Mort meant. Okay, I got it.
Weren't for the vomiting, I would have been like, why are you not trying to do it again? Because I feel like if I did that, the first thing I'd be like, let's do it again. And if it happens again, then it's weird. But if not, then it's just a fluke.
Well, and he has to know, even if he doesn't know about, like, specifically about, like, Raina Goldsmith or any of those people, like, he has mm-hmm. to know his father's killing people for magic. Right. And so if it's happening to him,
yeah,
like, I can only imagine the fear or the whatever is going through him at potentially that being him now and something to hide. And that's intense. And then it finally ends with Selena saying, and maybe it had taken her this long to realize it, but this man, she wanted that life with him, with her and Kale. And she like, aww, he's sleeping and she like puts her hands through his hair and down his stubbly cheek or whatever it said. And it's just like so precious and cute. And I just love them. And I know. And I want them to be together forever. I want them to stop being dumb, but I get that it's like a book and they don't just like character growth and whatever. Yeah. But
whatever.
Womp, womp. So I'm excited to see where that goes. And I hope that it's not dumb. I hope they're just like the characters that get together and stay together, not like third act breakup kind of drama.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever other kind of trope, romance tropes that end up. But maybe that's my 100 romance books last year mind that's coming into things. So
I think the typical next thing to do is to sleep punch her in the kidney, right?
Yes, like, absolutely. Oh,
the next step the next in the relationship.
Next step. Yeah.
That's how you know if it's true love.
That's what really sealed the deal.
I mean, he probably has kidney punched her before. They train together every day.
Yeah, that's true.
So they already probably know that.
And if she's the assassin she claims to be, she'd be ready for it. Wakes up, draws a dagger. He's like, what do you think you do?
Step up, Cal.
But for real, not for her, because like they sneak in her room all the time. She wakes up and they're there. There's candy on her pillow or whatever else. She's a heavy sleeper.
I mean, obviously they're hanging out in each other's rooms all the time. They're very like, not only like verbally flirty, they're very physically flirty. Like how they were joking and like jabbing each other with their elbows, or like she pushes his face away with her foot while they're just like sprawled out on a couch.
Well, he was even like holding her hand under the table at the dinner during the song. And I love them.
Let's move on to our thoughts and theories. So guys, after the start of book two, what are your overall thoughts?
I've really struggled with the first book, specifically at the beginning, I guess, just because you're like learning a whole new world. And also, I just feel like I talked about this a little bit before with just being on Instagram and TikTok and whatever, and just being so much hype over the series. So it was almost just like, okay, fine, I'll read it. Maybe it was like some of that that I had to get past. I was really excited going into this one because like I know the characters, I know what's happening. Like I actually am like excited to know what's going on with them. It wasn't all this preconceived energy and thoughts. It was just the book. This is also the first time I've had like jaw-dropping, like, holy crap moments, which was with, like, the Raina Goldsmith and with Dorian's power stuff. So that was cool. I also love all the swoon-worthy moments with Selena and Kale, and I'm all about that. So I am way more enjoying this book than I was the last one, and I'm much more excited to continue to read this one than I was the last one. So that's where I'm at.
Good stuff.
Yay.
My only thought or theory that I haven't already covered in the individual chapters has to do with the title itself, because Throne of Glass was pretty obvious why it was called that. We were introduced to the Castle of Glass with the throne and all that. But Crown of Midnight I find interesting because I am sort of expecting a crown to be made of the same black stones as the rings are, or maybe a crown made of the darkness that sort of inhabits the shadows or the demons that went through. I'm interested into why Crown of Midnight is the title, and I'm sure we'll come to it soon. But
well, we haven't talked about whatever that creepy ghost thing is at the library, so maybe it's something to do with some. We didn't talk about that guy at all. He was there.
We still don't know anything about
him. He was like, I think, shrouded in darkness too, if I'm right. Like darkness, eyes and seeing things, and what was the other one? Ice. There were like three recurring sort of themes in this one.
Well, we also didn't talk about the library tapestry and her going down there and doing all of that, and the big iron door. So something's going on there too. I don't know,
but I'm interested to find out why this book is so titled The Crown of Midnight.
This is my only other like real question from this stretch of chapters. Like we talked about how Nehemia is being kind of sketchy about telling Selena to just leave it alone and like stop asking questions or whatever, but like also what has Nehemia been doing for the last 2 months? She was saying that she had been chasing down the Ritterak and like whatever other creatures like Scooby-Doo style running through the castle the whole time confirmation that Selena was doing the trials, but like we also got confirmation that until this ball where she was chatting mm-hmm. with Dorian, that was the first time that she'd made an appearance at any of their like gatherings. So I'm like, what has she been doing? Like, she's not invited to these meetings. No. Where is she all the time?
I think that's some of the reason I thought maybe she already had been to the tomb or had been to some of these places, because she, I don't know, was being so sketchy about it. She obviously knows way more than she's letting on.
Yeah.
Maybe she's like secretly putting word marks places all over the castle and then is going to use them to like something cool. I don't know.
Do something.
Yeah. She's going to do something cool. I don't know. That's a great question though. And yeah. Now I'm on Nehemia watch.
Yeah. I honestly just can't remember the initial reason that she was actually there, because it wasn't for being present for the trials and like being witness to them. Right. So like, why?
She mentions, I think maybe in one of their conversations toward the end of the first book, that she's like basically there to spy on the king and to get more information.
But the king's like letting her continue to stay.
Yeah. He either invited her or something so that they could try to connect their countries or something.
Yeah. I think it was more that like the king wanted her to bring back like their culture essentially. Like he kind of wanted them to assimilate, but she's kind of got the opposite goal.
Right. And that's kind of why I was curious as to why she's still there. Because surely the king would have seen or known by now that it's not working.
Or maybe he's just not worried about it. But like,
he also knows that Duke Parrington had some sort of scheme about keeping her hostage and using that against the people. And he was like, slow down on that because people are getting skeptical or whatever since Dorian said something. So maybe they do have some plan we just don't know about.
Just keeping her close by enough, but not too close or too far away.
There also just seems to be a bajillion people in the Queen's court and all this other stuff. And the king also wasn't there for the entire first book to even see her or be aware of her, you know? So, and now she's like hiding from him basically for the last 2 months. So out of sight, out of mind. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be.
Lots of questions.
Lots of questions. Yep. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, so the next chapter section that we're covering is a big one. It's like 20 chapters. So we will maybe get some more answers, maybe leave with more questions at that point.
Probably.
So in our next episode, we'll still be in Crown of Midnight. We'll be covering chapters 19 to 39. So it'll be 20 chapters. So join us for that on our next episode. Also, while you're here, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast, or if you're watching on YouTube, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Between Pages and Friends for all of our updates. Check out our website, betweenpagesandfriends.com, for merch and all of our links and contact info. And then Patreon is where you're going to find everything else, all of these extra perks and bonuses and discounts and community. And we just love our Patreon members so much.
Also, our Patreon members get each podcast episode a day early. So if you are loving what you're hearing and you want to get it early or just be involved in the community, please join us on Patreon.
Bye.
Smooth as silk.
Smooth as cottage cheese.
I didn't have anything else to say. Bye.
Thanks for listening from Kyle Westfall.
Next up, Rena Goldsmith.
1 your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.